everyone. Welcome to the Hoboken Grace Podcast. We hope today's message inspires you on your walk with God and supports you in a weekly rhythm of connecting with Him. We want to help you in that, so every message from every week is available live and on demand on our app or at hobokengrace.com. Thank you for choosing to spend time with us, and we'll see you next week.
Excellent. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome. If I haven't had a chance to meet you, my name is Chris. I'm lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and we are having a lot of fun as we move this morning and as we're launching into this new series called Payout. Also, I just want to celebrate really quickly what happened on Friday night. If you weren't here on Friday night, worship night was incredible. I really do think it was an epic moment actually in the history and life of our church, and just an unbelievable thing that God did on Friday night as we came together to be able to celebrate Him. I just want to encourage you, for those of you who weren't here, do not miss the next one. Do not miss it. It was unbelievable. But today, as we come together, we are launching this new conversation, and I know many of you are sitting here thinking, I still have no idea where we're going with this. That's great. I'm trying to keep you there as long as possible. No. Well, what we want to do as we move through this series is I want to talk to you about one of the most significant things that I think God introduces to our lives. As a matter of fact, I would argue it's one of, if not the most significant principle that God introduces to our lives in terms of how we live life well. Now, most of Scripture, don't miss this, most of Scripture is not about how you live life well. I know a lot of people think that it is. A lot of people talk about Scripture like it's about morality and how do you do the right thing. That's not actually what most of it's about. Most of Scripture is introducing you to who God is and introducing you to the relationship you get to have with Him. That's the focus of it. But along with that, one of the other things that God does in our lives as our Father and as someone who loves us is that He comes alongside of us and He says, listen, I also want to help you live life well. Because if we're going to follow Him well and if we're going to love well, and we've been told, for those of us who've made the decision to follow Him, we've been told that our defining characteristic is going to be love. If you're going to love well, you have to live well. And so what I want to do as we move through the series is I want to introduce you to what I think is one of the most significant principles that God introduces into our lives to help us do that. Specifically to help us engage decisions in a life-giving way. So one of the things that Jesus teaches is that there's a way to life and there's a way to death. This path of sin, it leads to death. It leads to destruction. And so He's constantly saying, okay, how do I help you move from this path to the path of life? And how do you make decisions? How can we make decisions that allow us to experience life, that allow us to bring life into the lives of those around us? If we're going to do that, then I think God says we have to be very intentional, very careful with the way that we look at, the way that we process decisions. Now, one of the things God over and over and over again is trying to help us understand, and most of us understand this, at least to some degree we understand this, is that decisions don't live in a moment. In other words, the decision that you make in this moment is going to impact a lot of moments. As you move through the book of Proverbs, you see Him calling this out over and over and over again. When you look at Scripture, a fool is defined as someone who thinks they can do something in one moment and it won't impact the rest of their life. A fool, based on Scripture, is literally someone who believes what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. That's how Proverbs defines it. You think, I can make this decision over here and it won't impact the rest of my life. You don't understand how life is holistically connected. And God says, constantly, He's calling our attention to this. Listen, decisions don't live in a moment. Decisions don't live in a moment. What happens here is going to impact beyond this moment. Now, almost all of us understand that. We may not live our lives based on it. We may not make decisions based on it, but we understand that to some degree. We understand, okay, no, decisions well, they can last a long time. And almost all of us could look back on our stories and talk about good decisions that have had long-lasting impact, bad decisions that have had long-lasting impact. I think back on my life, and one of the best decisions I ever made was to marry my wife, Anna. It's just this unbelievable decision that has impacted everything in my life in a phenomenal way. Think back to the decision to plant Hoboken Grace and the impact that that's made. It impacted more than just a moment. But I can think back about decisions that went the other way. I think back about the first time that I encountered pornography. And how that decision to engage pornography, well, it didn't just impact that moment. It's impacted the rest of my life. I think back about the way that I handled money when I was younger. And there are those decisions in life where you wish, if I could just go back and talk to that 18-year-old, my life would be so different. If I could just go back. We understand this. All of us have this inside of our story. We have those things that we look back on. We see, no, decisions last beyond a moment. And they can impact us for a long time. But again, even though we know it, it doesn't necessarily change it. It's amazing to me how many times we know the principle to be true. I think all of us, if I were to ask you, do you believe decisions impact more than a moment? You'd say yes. But yet we consistently are in a moment and make decisions based on the moment. We don't even have to, you don't have to look that far back in your life to find an example of this. I don't have to look any further back than last night. We were hanging out with some friends of ours, and we came home, and I said, you know what, I should probably go to bed. But when we left the party, they handed me a tray of hamburgers. And I said, well, I could go to bed, or I could eat two hamburgers. And there are those decisions, you don't have to look that far back where you're like, I'm still paying for that. What was I thinking? I know it impacts more than a moment. I didn't just do that as an illustration for today. Why? We know it to be true, but yet, why doesn't it impact our decisions more? Why is it that we continue to be in the moment and make the decision based on the moment, not thinking through, okay, wait, what is this gonna, how is this gonna work out? What are the other moments that are gonna be affected by this moment? Why doesn't the reality of life, we know and we've experienced, why doesn't it impact our decision making more? I think there are two answers to that question based on what God has taught us. The second answer we're going to talk about in a couple of weeks when we get to the last week of this series. But today I want to talk to you about the first one. And it has to do with the way that we look at or the way that we think about the principle. So the way that we understand the idea that decisions last beyond a moment. Because I don't think we think about it the way that God thinks about it. I think some of us think we think about it the way that God thinks about it, but I don't think we actually understand what he's taught us about this. Because I think most of us think, okay, decisions last for a moment. And we've been heavily influenced by Western Buddhism in this. So we think decisions last beyond a moment in the way that we would talk about karma. And so we think, okay, if I do a bad thing or if I make a bad decision, then there's going to be something bad that comes in my life. If I make a good decision, if I do a right thing, then there's going to be a right thing that comes into my life. And so we kind of move through life and we're trying to kind of weigh that out and kind of figure out, okay, if I got more good on the scale, do I have more bad on the scale? What should I really expect to come back to me? And we really interact with it on this one-to-one basis, and we make decisions. We say, well, okay, I gotta realize it lives beyond a moment, and it's gonna come back to me. Now the reality is that that's not actually even reflective of karma if you understand it. But we've been heavily influenced by this idea, and we make decisions based on that. And sometimes, for those of you who've been in church, you've heard this phrase: "You reap what you sow." You reap what you sow. Many of you have heard that phrase if you've been a part of church in the past. And we hear that and we think, okay, it's the same thing. You reap what you sow. It's the same as karma. It's this idea like you do something bad, you get something bad in return. You do something good, you get something good in return. And we think that God, when he talks to us about you reap what you sow, we think that's what he's teaching us. I don't think that's actually what he's teaching us at all. I think it's actually far more significant than that. So I want to take you to a couple of passages where God's introducing us to this idea of, well, the principle of a seed. And that's why he uses this idea of reap what you sow. It's the idea of planting something and then there's a harvest to it. The first passage I want to take you to is found in Galatians chapter 6. It says this: "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant." Now, this is one of the really significant things that God teaches us about this. He says, listen, when you're looking at decisions, you have to think about it in terms of a seed. Now, the first thing that he introduces us to when he's talking about it in this passage is the idea that you don't harvest immediately when you plant something. Now, I know some of you have no idea when you come to scripture and he starts talking about planting and harvesting and farming, you're like, I don't know how that works. I just want for you to understand something really quickly. I just introduce this to you. When you plant a seed, it doesn't grow immediately. And I know some of you are like, I don't know. I go to the store and I buy it. I thought it was always like that. I thought that you just put it in and no, that's not how it works. And one of the advantages that I had growing up is that I grew up on a farm. And so a lot of the illustrations that you see inside of scripture are farming illustrations because they're being written to people who understood that. And so for those of us who don't have that background, we have to do a little bit more work to understand it. And so he says, listen, I want for you to think about this the way that you think about a harvest. Well, no one plants and expects the harvest right away. They understand it's going to take time. It's going to take time. And this is a really important principle as well for us to understand when we're thinking about decisions. It's going to take time. And he says, don't fool yourself. Don't mislead yourself. The harvest will come. It just takes time. Now, this is important on a couple different fronts. One, this is really important if you are making bad decisions and you're saying to yourself, wow, I'm getting away with it. And God says, no, wait. Not sometimes. It always takes time. But it will come back. There will be a harvest. And so it's really significant on that front. It's also really significant, listen to me, because some of you are working and you're striving to follow Jesus and to live in the way that he's called you to live, but you're looking around at the people around you, and you're looking at your coworkers, maybe you're looking at your your friends, and you're watching them make bad decisions. And it seems like they're getting away with it. And you're beginning to grow tired of making the right decision because you're looking at it and saying, no, they're getting away with it. And God says, don't you think that? Yeah, there will be a time. It never happens right away. There's a season, maybe multiple seasons, before the harvest. But there will be a harvest. And so he says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death. This is, one of those places where he's saying there's a path to death. There's a path to life. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. The purpose of this passage is not actually to scare you about bad decisions. It's to encourage you in your good ones. And God's coming alongside of you because he knows. And the writer's writing to this church, and he knows, wait, they're watching the people around them make bad decisions. It looks like they're getting away with it. And he says, don't get tired of doing what is right, because I promise you there will be a harvest. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. And so God, he introduces this idea of seed. He says it lives beyond a moment. The impact isn't immediate. There's going to be a season before you experience it, but there will be a harvest. But again, we say, oh, yeah, I understand. You reap what you sow. So you understand if I sow this, I'm going to reap this. It's, you do something bad, you experience something bad. You do something good, you experience something good. And that passage doesn't change it that much, except for the fact that I realize I may have to wait for it, and I don't necessarily know when it's going to come, but it's still, you do something bad, you get something bad. But the illustration is significant. And what he uses in the illustration is significant, because the seed doesn't just teach us about seasons before harvest. The seed teaches us something else. Jesus talks about this in Mark chapter 4. And in this moment, he's talking about the way that we communicate the message of God to those around us and how it impacts different people. But as he's walking through that, he again talks about this principle of the seed. You can find this all through the biblical narrative. But he talks about another aspect to the principle of the seed. He says this, Mark chapter 4. He said, still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. He says, there's something else you need to understand about the seed. When I'm using this illustration, there's another thing that you need to understand about the seed. All of us, we've experienced this as well. Do you have decisions in your life that haunt you? In other words, you have worked and worked and worked to escape them, but you can't. And you look back and your friends told you, he's no good for you. Don't go down that road. This isn't going to be good, but you decided to date him anyway, and it's been 10 years, and that's still impacting you. Your friend offered you that pill, and you thought, well, it's just a moment. But you can't stop. You ever have those decisions? They seem never
ending. I get to hear about a lot of those decisions. People will schedule meetings with me to talk about those decisions. It's interesting, this principle works both ways, but no one ever schedules meetings with me to talk about the good decisions and how they continue to impact them positively. No one has ever done that. I'd love it if you would like to share those with me. I only get the haunting ones. And so they'll sit down with me, and it's interesting because they'll talk to me about the decision that was made, and they'll talk about how it's continuing to impact their life, and then they'll say something to me. And I think a lot of us look at it this way because we walk into it and we say, well, you know, I make a bad decision, I get a bad thing back. And oftentimes we'll look at it and say, well, I think I can handle that. I think I can handle that. We look at, well, I think I know what the outcome of this will be. I think I can handle that. But we don't get this back. It seems like there's a lot more. And so what they'll say to me as they're experiencing the more is they'll say to me, I guess God's punishing me. When it doesn't align with the principle of karma, when it doesn't align with the one-to-one, over and over and over again, I see people go to this, I guess God's punishing me. Listen to me very carefully. Listen to me. Jesus went to the cross to take all of your punishment. The punishment for every bad decision, everything that's broken about you and about me. There's something at play here that you have to pay attention to. And this is Jesus does this, as Jesus shares this with us in Mark chapter 4, it should drastically change the way that we think about decisions, because it changes the way that we think about seeds. And Jesus says, you need to understand something about seeds. Seeds don't return one for one. Seeds return exponentially. So if you plant a seed of corn, there's not a plant that grows up and gives you a seed back. Some of you are like, really? No. Do you know what the yield is for a seed of corn? Jesus says, some seeds produce 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Do you know what the yield is for a seed of corn? 80. So for every seed that you plant of corn, you can expect 80 back. And so Jesus says, you got when you think about this idea of seeds, you got to think about it differently. Because when you plant this, you don't get this back. When you plant this, he says sometimes you get, well, some seeds produce 30-fold. He says some seeds produce 30-fold, and this is about 30-fold of this. He says, but some don't produce 30-fold, some actually produce 60-fold. And then he says, then there's some seeds produce 100-fold. When God says you reap what you sow, he's not talking about you plant this, you get this back. He says you need to understand this about the principle of the seed. When you plant this, sometimes you get that back. And I'll have conversations with individuals who are like, God must be punishing me. And I'll say to them, no. This is the reality of decisions. And Jesus takes all of our punishment. But there's still consequences to the decision. There's still, and this is the way that I phrase it, there's still a payout to every decision. And again, many of us know exactly what this looks like, because we can point to decisions in our life and we say, man, that's exactly what happened in my life. Now, here's the interesting thing. Again, going back to Galatians, God doesn't share this with you to scare you about bad decisions. He shares it with you to encourage you. And every time I talk someone through this, they always think about bad decisions. And immediately it's, oh my goodness, what? And they'll think about a bad decision that they've made and they'll say, what is the payout going to be? And make no mistake about it. When we make bad decisions, there is a payout. Now, Jesus can, in unbelievable ways, redeem the brokenness in our life. We're going to talk more about that later. Don't you for one second leave here depressed about the reality of the seed. Jesus can redeem. But, this can lead to life or death. And Jesus is stepping into our life and saying, look at the life you can experience. Look at the life you can experience. If you will trust me, if you will follow me, it's not a one-to-one, and it can take you in a really bad direction. It can lead you towards death, or it can produce phenomenal life. And don't miss this. One of the interesting things is that the staff kept asking me, keep it on the stage. But it's really hard to keep it on the stage. And it spills over into the front row, which you guys got to experience. We're going to talk about this a little bit later as well, but don't miss this. The impact of your decisions don't just stay in your life. They spill over into others. This is one of the reasons why Jesus says, be careful who you hang out with, because if you hang out with fools, you will suffer destruction, because it pours into your life too. And the same thing is true with life. Some of you are here because there was someone in your life who trusted Jesus this way. And you can point back to them. And they were willing to follow and to choose, even when it looked like it was better out there. They were willing to follow and choose over and over again. And it didn't just bring life into their life, it brought life into yours. And what God wants to do as we move through this is that He wants for us to begin to engage decisions differently. Why? So that we can bring life. So that we can know life. But you have to understand it for what it actually is. It isn't some karma thing. No, it's way bigger than that.
And we have to move through life and consistently over and over again. And the way that, again, the way that I say it is consider the payout. Payout's actually an acronym. It stands for the principle of actual yield over an undetermined amount of time. The principle of actual yield over undetermined, you don't know how long it's going to keep bearing fruit. You don't know how long it's going to keep impacting, not just you, but the people around you. Some of you aren't, this isn't just a reality for the people that you know. Some of you, this is your grandparents or your great-grandparents, and they live this way, and that fruit is still showing up in your life. And so we have to over and over again consider, okay, what's the payout? I don't even know how long this is going to impact my life. What's the payout of actual yield? What is actually going to, it's not just this is going to impact more than this moment. No, this could impact the rest of my life. This could spill over into all. So I have to make sure that I'm considering the payout.
Why? Because Jesus gave his life for me to have life. And Jesus gave his life for me to bring life. And so as we move through the series, what I want to do is I want to look at this principle, which is far more significant than we thought, and then begin to look at, okay, how does this show up in different arenas of life? How does this show up in different aspects of life? And how can we not just ask ourselves, but how can we, as we're helping each other process decisions, how can we call each other to consider the payout? So that when you're in your group, and you're in your dinner group, and you're talking about a decision that you're making, that somebody speaks up and says, what's the payout? I've found that when we think about it in terms of karma, we think, well, I can handle that. But when you look at that, I mean, you're looking at it now thinking, how is the staff going to clean that up? I can't handle that. The reason that the principle doesn't impact our decisions is that we haven't understood it correctly. And if in the midst of the decision you're honest about that, it will change the decision you make. At least it's half of what should change the decision or will change the decisions we make. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for the way that you so lovingly come alongside of us and as our Father, you're teaching us, not just calling us to follow you, but you're teaching us how to follow you, what that looks like, how to navigate this journey well so that we can love well, so that we can not just avoid the path of death, but so that we can actually experience the path of life. And I pray that as we move through the next few weeks, that we would get better and better and better at following you in that. In Jesus' name, amen.